Hello, Superintendent's Office, Bermud.
Hi, yeah, I spoke to you briefly there yesterday in relation to the Shell to Sea protests.
All right, yes.
I was wondering, is it possible to get a comment from the Superintendent?
You won't be able to get him this afternoon because he's out all evening.
Okay.
He's out and about, it's just not a good time.
When would be the best time to get him?
Maybe towards the middle of next week or something. I'm not sure now what he'd be able to give you, you know, what exactly he wants, but...
In 1996, what we know as the Corrib National Gas Field was discovered by Enterprise Oil, which was subsequently acquired by Shell in 2002. The Shell Oil Company had entered into talks with Robur Planala about securing planning permission for a gas pipeline through North Mayo. The discussions were reported to have been taking place under the new Strategic Infrastructure Act, which aims to speed up the delivery of such a project. The talks, which took place, were what are termed as pre-application discussions under the new Strategic Infrastructure Act. The Act came into force at the end of January and Shell lodged its application for talks days later on February the 8th. Permission to construct a gas pipeline had been subject to the granting of an order from Communications and Natural Resources Minister Noel Dempsey. However, it is understood that the impact of the new Act is that any pipeline from the shoreline to any terminal requires the sole permission of An Bord Pleanála. Last month, Shell Ireland appointed an engineering consultancy firm to help find an alternative route for the controversial Corrib gas pipeline. The Corrib project is led by Shell Ireland with partner companies Statoil and Marathon. Shell said in January 2007 that they intend to modify the planned route, which has been strongly opposed by local landowners and residents on health and safety grounds. In a statement, it appealed for a process of community consultation and dialogue to find the best route for the onshore pipeline. Responding to the move, the Shell to Sea campaign group said it remained totally opposed to any plans to bring the gas pipeline onshore, and again it called on Shell to process the gas at sea. It said a production pipeline presented far too great a hazard from a health and safety point of view ever to be accepted by those living in the area. In order to get a clear understanding of energy use, I attended a conference in Dingle on the 10th of February 2007. Dealing with the effects of peak oil and subsequently the use of alternative energy sources. Some of the methods used to find oil and the reality behind OPEC's bogus figures, which governments and oil companies have been quoting for many years. He then went on to talk about the effects of gas depletion.
I might just say a few words about the differing approaches in Europe to gas depletion, which is kind of instructive, I think. The Dutch found this huge gas field. It was one of the first major fields in Europe, but they were fairly cautious, central government planning, and they decided to deplete it slowly. So they had a long, long plateau at a fairly modest level, and it's set to decline from about 2010 onwards. That was a sensible way to deplete this finite and very lucky occurrence that they had. Norway is a little bit similar for different reasons. Again, they started cautiously with close government controls, but the remote location and the constraints of the pipelines has meant that they too are depleting it rather slowly, cautiously, and for a long time. And Britain started in the same way in the early 70s, mainly state-controlled sort of approach. Then came the famous Mrs. Thatcher, who released all the attributes of competition, enterprise, enthusiasm, you name it, she released it. And the result was a fantastic achievement. I mean, they went at it, they built platforms, fantastic engineering, the price of gas fell, which pleased the consumer. It was a brilliant policy, but only for a short period of time, because the cost has been that Britain's gas is now in steep decline and is virtually exhausted in 10, 15 years. Just quickly, Ireland's fuel consumption, 25% from gas, and I'll talk about that a bit in a minute, 13 from coal, 55% from oil, 6 from turf, and only 2 from renewables. And I think the most serious at risk is electricity. 50% of Ireland's electricity is made from gas. Kinsale Head Field, which supplied enough earlier on, is now almost exhausted. The UK, as I mentioned already, becomes a net importer on a steeply rising trend. So the question is, will Britain be ready to switch off her lights to supply Ireland? I would doubt it. Ireland is in just by geographical location, right at the end of the gas line from Siberia, and there are many hungry people in between. And Russia, as you know, our bread, is increasingly conserving her own gas for her own use, and who can blame them because it gets cold in winter in Russia? So this is Ireland's electricity fuel, 50% from gas. And that just shows it graphically that Kinsale Head was enough to supply Ireland's needs, which were quite small. There was a shift to get electricity generation to use this abundant, easy fuel. And the demand surged upwards, but the field declined. And then there's this Corrib field off Mayo, we've heard about that. There's a huge environmental opposition to it, and one can quite understand the local people not wanting to see all of this going on in their backyard. But in a national sense, we desperately need this field for the next few years. But even if it does come on by about 2020, 2030, there's nothing left, and imports will by then be extremely high risk. So this is a fairly desperate situation with a huge impact on electricity supply.
Are you aware of Shell Ireland?
Yeah, I've heard about it, yeah.
Do you have an opinion on the matter in Mayo?
I'm not that well informed about it, but from my understanding, the most recent thing was that the environmental impact report came out in favour of Shell Ireland. But I'm not well enough informed and I haven't read that report. So I have to reserve my opinion at this point until I read more about the environmental impact report.
Do you have any ideas how to resolve the issue?
I don't really. I suppose that the people living in Mayo feel that their rights are just being trampled on and they're not being listened to. That's always going to be something that's going to cause conflict. So I don't have an opinion on how to resolve this particular issue, but it can only be resolved by negotiation, people sitting down listening to each other.
Do you have an opinion on the matter in Mayo?
Well, I do. I have strong opinions on it.
What are they?
What are they? I believe Shell Ireland should be left alone. I believe they should be left continue with their project, and I believe they should be left bringing the gas line and not interfering with anybody.
Do you have any ideas on how to resolve the issue?
How to resolve the issues?
Yeah.
I don't know, are there issues really? Because knowing people who have been up there and talking to people who have been up there and talking to Gardaí who have been up there, very few local people had a problem with it. The Rossborough 4 who finished up in jail got their own problems sorted and resolved, and the problems that were left with were caused by what we might call eco-warriors, who were only kind of hippies looking for a bit of hassle anyway.
The important thing is that since the first day that we broke the barricade and secured the entrance, the workers have been going in and out. We haven't altered any time schedules or anything else because the message that I want to send out is that I'm in charge now. They're not. For want of better words, they have been stood down.
Gannon clearly states that there is no arrest policy.
There were no arrests. That was part of our strategy. We did not want to facilitate anyone down there with a route to martyrdom. That has been the policy ever since. Superintendent Joe Gannon, Belmunnet Station.
It so seems that the companion of the no arrest policy has apparently been an assault policy. Alan Jukes spoke to Karen Cahill from Shell Ireland about the operations of Shell in County Mayo regarding the proposed Corrib gas terminal and pipeline. He proceeded to ask Karen the question. The Corrib gas pipeline and terminal have been big stories in the media for the last few years. And with the backing of the government, can you tell me what are the plans for the Corrib gas project as it stands and for the future?
Well, at the moment, the project will consist of, it's an onshore terminal, which will be located 9 kilometres inland. This terminal will require a pipeline which will come from the wellhead, which is about 83 kilometres offshore. What will happen, the Corrib onshore terminal will process gas from the field. So gas that comes in through the pipeline, it will contain small amounts of water and hydrocarbon liquids. So this will need to be removed at the terminal so that the gas can be used by Bord Gáis. From the gas terminal at Ballinaboy in Mayo, Bord Gáis have built a pipeline from Ballinaboy to Crockwell in Galway to link into the national ring main. So that link line from Mayo to Galway has been that's actually been paid for by Shell and its partners partners Statoil and Marathon through a tariffing system. So basically what the project will do is provide up to 60% of Ireland's gas needs once the project is up and running. And the field life of the project is approximately 15 to 20 years.
And what benefits to the Irish economy and more specifically to the local community of Erris after the completion will there be?
Well, maybe if I just take the national one first. The project really, it's of a strategic national importance. At the moment, Ireland imports about 85% of our gas. So what Corrib will provide is up to, at peak production, we'll be providing up to 60% of gas needs. So in effect, we'll be replacing gas imports with indigenous supplies. Then on a more local element, the project, as I said, it's resulting in an extension of the Bord Gáis distribution system. So gas is now going to be coming to towns in the west of Ireland. Also, the fact that gas is coming to towns, this will help increase infrastructure in the area, in the western region, at the border, Midlands western region as well. In a more local Erris concept, there'll be a job creation in the local economy. Besides even gas coming to towns, the actual terminal itself will provide local jobs in the economy. There are approximately 200 people employed at the moment. That will rise over the coming months when we start hauling peat from the site. And then we are hoping to start construction in September or October this year. And the jobs figure will be up to about 700 during construction. So once the project then is fully constructed and up and running, we're looking at about 100 full-time permanent positions associated with it.
And what are Shell Ireland's views on the Shell to Sea campaign and their pledge to have the terminal and pipeline constructed offshore?
Well, I mean, Shell to Sea, they're perfectly entitled to campaign as they see fit. But all we can say, I mean, gas pipelines, they have an excellent safety record. We originally had planned to bring the pipeline in on a certain route into the terminal. This route had been independently evaluated by a number of qualified experts, and they had deemed the pipeline safe. Now, early last year, we entered into mediation with the group known as the Rossport Five, who would have represented the view that their belief that the pipeline wasn't safe. So the independent mediator was a man called Peter Castles. He was appointed by the government. And he, while he deemed that it was safe, he recommended that we modify the route to address local concerns in relation to proximity to housing. So even though a quantified risk assessment had been carried out last year by Advantica, who had deemed the pipeline safe, we agreed to address those concerns. We agreed to move the pipeline. So we are at the moment seeking the local community's input as to what criteria they feel we should be considering in looking at a new pipeline route. So we hope to have a new route agreed by the end of the summer, and we hope that that will address people's concerns. The fact that people are now having the opportunity, again, to input into where they think we should be putting this pipeline, and that will address the local concerns in the area.
And do you have safety measures already put in place in case of an explosion?
We're looking at a new pipeline route now, so anything that went before is not valid. It's not relevant. But I would just again stress, gas pipelines have an excellent safety record. This is not new technology around the world. Gas pipelines, onshore processing it's the best option for a field like Corrib, for a field of that size and that type. Best international practice now is moving towards onshore processing. I mean, in the Netherlands alone, there's something like 50 onshore terminals with associated onshore pipelines. You know, onshore processing provides more benefits than offshore processing. It's a lot safer. You don't have people traveling by helicopter. You don't have marine cargo movements. And it's also more environmentally friendly. I mean, if we were to process this offshore, you're talking about putting a concrete structure, you know, 83 kilometres offshore. We'd also need a structure which would be as high as the Empire State Building sitting on the seabed if this was to be processed offshore. So at the end of the day, onshore processing, not only is it, I mean, this is a development proposal that's been fully evaluated and granted permission by the relevant authorities. You know, a number of years ago, we had a 5-week oral hearing on our planning application with On Bord Planola, and we have gotten the go-ahead to develop this onshore terminal. We are seeking local community input on a new pipeline route, and we really want to see this project get up and running and deliver the benefits as quickly as possible to Mayo and to Ireland.
Shelta Sea spokesman John Monaghan said since last October aluminium was running into the local river and onto Carramore Lake.
There has been an extensive environmental impact statement has been undertaken for the project. We are being rigorously monitored by the relevant authorities, by the Northwest Regional Fisheries Board. There were some incidents last year where there was some scaremongering over what was happening, and the North Regional Fisheries Board came out and said that, and Mayo County Council, might I add, that there wasn't an issue. So there has been scaremongering going on, but we are being rigorously monitored by the relevant authorities, and we will continue to do so. I mean, the facilities will be they'll operate under an environmental management system. We also will need to have an integrated pollution prevention and control license from the Environmental Protection Agency, which is being sought at the moment. I mean, the EPA a number of weeks ago said that it is their intention. They signified their intention to grant one. We may be having an oral hearing on that, but they haven't granted that yet. But they don't see an issue with the running of the terminal and with the environment, with any environmental impact. Excuse me. So, you know, it isn't an issue.
And the local community of Erris says they have generally a positive reaction to it?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, we've run opinion polls. Primetime have run opinion polls. The Irish Independent have run opinion polls. And all the time, while there are people were concerned about safety of some aspects, for example, the pipeline, we have now said we'll modify the pipeline route to address those concerns. So in general, people are quite positive and people want this to go ahead and they want us to deliver the benefits that this will bring and just basically get on with it and do it.
Context. The Curragh gas field is being developed by three multinational companies headed by Shell. They intend to refine the gas in a formerly Colleague-owned 165-hectare forest which is 6 kilometres inland. Shell intend to run the upstream offshore pipeline through this 9-kilometre stretch of land alongside and under the public road. Shell maintains that there is nothing exceptional about this pipeline and that there are gas pipelines operating safely in cities and towns in Ireland. Pipeline. High-pressure bored gas transmission pipelines in Ireland must adhere to sales gas standards, i.e. cleaned, odorised gas with pressure less than 80 bar and a mandatory separation distance of 70 metres from dwellings to conform with the NSAI Code of Practice. Maximum pressure in cities and towns is 4 bar. Facts. The Curragh gas upstream pipeline is very different. It is of an astounding 345 bar pressure, i.e. 5,000 psi. A car tyre is 2 psi. It will come ashore at Duncarton, where there were over 40 separate landslides. It will be raw coercive gas subject to massive slug buildup over its 92 kilometre length. It will have several high-risk 90-degree angles over its 9-kilometre onshore length. It'll be unodorized, so leaks cannot be detected. It'll run alongside the public road for much of its length. It will not be possible to maintain even a 70-metre separation from houses and stay safely clear of the loose clay cliff face along the shore of the beautiful Shrewd Fáil at Conn Estuary. The National Authority for Occupational Safety and Health is the competent authority for sites falling under the Seveso Directive. The refinery site comes under this directive, because the massive amounts of highly dangerous substances to be stored on site. The HSA failed to take into account several scenarios under this directive, as required under EU law. They stated in the report that the worst possible consequences would be caused by a full-bore rupture at the high-pressure import gas pipeline, and that the fatal effects from a jet fire could extend to 527 metres. Despite this, residents are expected to live and work within 70 metres of this pipeline.
What's your view on the so-called environmental surveys that Shell have been conducting up in the local area?
It is difficult to say from here. From what I've heard in the press and what you can imagine of their previous track record, it is dismal, to say the least. And it is not in their interest to be environmentally aware whatsoever. They are only interested in obtaining minerals from the ground or the sea or wherever, mining or anything. They are one of the same animal.
What's your view on the efforts of the Gardaí there for the last few days now?
It was their the Gardaí seemed their strings are being pulled by the powers that be, namely the government and the corporate Shell. They're calling the shots. They think they are in Rossport and surrounding area. It was a very strange attitude to have towards people on a peaceful protest or peaceful picket. 170 guards is about 3 guards for each protester. So it would seem to me that the logistics of the system and their management, the Garda management, have, as usual, got something seriously wrong. And the woman that was not seen to, that was injured, we don't know how, the woman that was injured was obstructed or prevented by the Gardaí at the barrier. This is namely the doctor, Mr. Cowley, Jerry Cowley, was delayed to get into the woman who was injured. The whole thing, as usual, is shabby, vulgar, and despicable against the normal average person of this country. Yeah. And Shelter Sea Kerry are one of the small groups who are going to put a stop to it.
Martin Ferris is Sinn Féin TD for Kerry North and party spokesman on agriculture and rural development and marine and natural resources. He has been outspoken in highlighting the need for a coordinated strategy to rebuild rural communities which have become depopulated over the last decade due to a lack of government strategy and the ongoing withdrawal of essential services. I began the interview by asking TD Martin Ferris what are his views on Shell Ireland and the Corrib Gas project.
My views are quite clear. I think it's a total exploitation of natural resources for the benefit of multinationals. And I think it's an absolute disgrace. And I think what has really hit home to many, many people of conscience has been the way Shell Ireland have managed to imprison people because they stood up for their rights in Ballinabhy and in Ross, known as the Rossport Five, and the courageous stance that they took and the communities that supported them has exposed Shell and let's say the linkage between multinational and our government, which is very regrettable.
I went on to ask, are the government aware that the Irish economy won't benefit from the gas extracted and refined onshore due to a tariff system already being put in place, but yet the taxpayer has to fork out a percentage for a project, and if so, why?
Yes, the government are well aware, because successive governments in negotiations with multinationals over the years, from Enterprise Isle, Shell, Phillips, all the major companies that had blocks off of the Irish coast that were renegotiated from 1992, they were watered down from what was a fairly recognisable payback to the taxpayer to practically zero, and the government are aware of it because they negotiated it. But obviously there is a huge question mark.
Where the vested interests lie, in a sense, to bring around such a decision?
Well, the interest lies that they use the argument, and I have argued and debated it with the Minister for Natural Resources, Marine and Communications, Noel Dimsey, and I've argued it very strongly that there is no dividends to the Irish public, and that they should leave the resources there until such time as they negotiate a decent deal on behalf of the Irish people. But their argument is that it costs huge money to do this exploration. There is no guarantee they will get anything in exploration. That they can get no take up on the sections for both on the northwest and indeed all down the west coast for the blocks that have been out for license. They get no take up on them. I argue they will leave them. At some stage there will be take up on them, and I don't believe that they have argued it or they have negotiated this with any conviction, and the fact that they haven't negotiated it with any conviction has meant that the multinational oil companies have been able to acquire blocks for drilling for practically nothing. Let's take for instance the Corrib find. The gas in the Corrib find would be bought back from the multinationals by the Irish government at top market value.
What measures are you aware that the government have put in place regarding an evacuation plan in the event of an explosion? And what are the safe distances proposed already adequate enough?
When the independent investigation was done into what the government had accepted, it proved that it wasn't safe. And Shell had to revisit the whole situation and put other measures in place, of which the government have accepted again. Have the emergency plan in place? Not that I'm aware of. They have said that it won't arise. They have said that they're taking all the precautions prior to any gas coming on shore, with paramount being the interest, the safety interests of the communities. I don't accept that, because in the event of a blowout and an explosion, I think there's about maybe twice the normal average of PPS going through those pipes that would normally be going through. There has been evidence recently of a blowout somewhere, Southeast Russia, one of those former parts of the Soviet Union, where there was a blowout, where there was quite a number of casualties as a result of the very same type of pressure and the very same type of piping, even though they denied they put it down to mechanical fault in the weldings and so forth at that time and time. But I'm not aware they have any contingency plans in place in the eventuality of something like this happening.
Do you think the current campaign, The Power of One, is efficient enough to educate the public in real matters of energy efficiency? Or is it another sham just like e-voting?
Renewable energy and the benefits of it, and clean energy and the benefits of it, in current circumstances, particularly with the huge dangers as a result of global warming, climate change and so forth, is focusing the public's attention on it, and it's becoming an issue. And I would point to the recent opinion poll where the Greens percentage has doubled from 4 to 8%, which is a phenomenal jump in the space of a few months, and that in itself is an indication of where the public are at and their concerns for the future towards renewable and greener and more clean energy. Are the government doing enough? Is it just a scam? If you are to do something that has to have an effect, it has to be preceded with an educational process around that line. I don't believe they're doing enough on that line. I think you have got to get it into every single school. You have to make it attractive about energy saving for a start. There is a European directive, now you might be aware of it as well, that most, by the 2020, 20% of energy in this state has to be renewable, has to be from biofuels and all of those other types of energy, away from the conventional fossil fuels types that we have become dependent upon. I think I will await judgment on that to the Power One. I think, but certainly, there is no doubt that there is a huge concern starting and a focus building up around climate change and around the fact that all of this traces back to the abuse of energy.
On Saturday, the 17th of February, 2007, Shell to Sea Kerry were on the main street in Tralee. They were handing out leaflets informing the public about the actions of Shell in Ireland. I spoke to Kieran from Shell to see Kerry and started by asking him what efforts have been made so far regarding the whole Shell to Sea campaign, both in Erris and the actions of Shell to Sea in Kerry.
Really, it goes back, I suppose, to when the Rossport five were arrested, put into prison. And then the campaign started. Like, they'd been going on for a few years before that in Mayo, but that's when it became a national campaign. And that's down here, you know, we don't know a bit like. And we organised a public meeting with Mark Garavan, and it was in the middle of August, so it wasn't that many people there, about 25, 27 or something. But the thing is, from that we got the group going, from that public meeting. And it's varied in size, you know, over the time. We went down to the Fianna Fáil, just kind of running through what we've done. It was the October before, so that'd be just after they got out, after the national demonstration in Dublin. And I handed in a letter to Noel Dempsey, and I got a reply, and I put it on the internet. It's on there now still. A lot of it was just vague, you know. It wasn't anything definite, and all about, you know, how good this is for the economy. I mean, three central things we've been pushing from day one is environment, health and safety, and the distribution of wealth. And with all of those things, we're not going to get any of them off a Shell. You know, like, I mean, the point being that Shell is out for profits to maximise them. I mean, they made 25 billion or something last year. And now, they'd take a slight dent in that if they went inland. But I mean, ultimately, I don't think any of these big oil companies are interested in communities, health and safety, environment. You'll get a few jobs up there, maybe in Mayo or whatever, but they're buying nothing long term.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, I think we should be thinking of doing what they've done in Venezuela, just put it under public ownership, but a kind of public ownership which has community and people involved. You know, not just something that's not accountable again, like, you know, it's just run by the government, but something which is accountable to the people and to the people who work in the industry as well. And that way you'd also ensure health and safety, because you'd have the accountability there. And it wouldn't be to a bunch of shareholders. And the environment as well would be, you know, you'd be protected. Now, I mean, I just think in South America with the social movements, that's the sort of thing that's going on, like. And that's what's happening. And there's a huge wealth off the West Coast. We know in Kerry here that off our coast, I suppose it's going from West Cork up to Clare, there's massive resource, oil and gas. And one of the biggest companies operating there is ExxonMobil, who have a horrendous...
So you just go, one of the biggest?
Companies, yeah. Well, I think it's the only one, but it's certainly the biggest. And it's the biggest energy company in the world, and that's ExxonMobil. I mean, they make colossal profits, but their record on the environment, I mean, in Alaska, the Exxon Valdez happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can think in Ireland of the Betelgeuse, you know, which was tanker blew up off with the island. I mean, we don't know what they're going to do with it, but I mean, they actually put out bogus information to counter scientific information about the greenhouse effect and global warming. So, yeah, these people don't care. And the people up in Alaska, when the accident of these blew up, got no compensation. They're still waiting for it. They're owed $4.5 billion or something. Mm. Norway, and Statoil are involved, which is... people in Norway are quite cross about this themselves. And I know the trade union movement is as well, because members of the trade union movement in the leadership have been in Mayo to support the people in Mayo. That would not be allowed to happen in Norway, because it's a state-owned oil company, an oil and gas company. Mm. And... there is public ownership there. Like, the profits that Statoil make out of that will be of more benefit to the health service in Norway than there'll be in Ireland. You know, which is ridiculous. I mean, that's what we should be doing. And I think, really, that's the only way you can protect the environment. Like, I mean, I say it again, like, you know, I don't think, you know, I this is just my own personal opinion now, but I don't think that these... You know, these oil and gas companies will do whatever they want at the end of the day. That, you know, unless you bring it into public ownership, they will just do it. You know, and that's the that is a real, you know, that's It's been proven time and time again, you know, and they'll rob all the resources. I mean, in Nigeria, Shell are systematically robbing that country of all their resources. Plus, they're wrecking the environment there, you know, and they've got a proxy death squads operating against activists who are campaigning against Shell.
I continue to ask, as far as your knowledge goes, what push, if any, is being made towards the Irish government to have this project put into public resource so the Irish economy will benefit?
The primary objective, really, is to get Shell to stop what they're doing with the pipeline in Mayo and building this refinery. The first thing is to get that stopped. And then after that, you know, the broader debate about public ownership then comes into play. I mean, we can have that now, but that getting that pipeline and that refinery stopped is, you know, is the first. We have to try and do that. And the way to do that is really to get as many people involved as possible, like the demonstration in Dublin on the 24th. Mm-hmm. It's very good, like, because a lot of people can't get up to Ballinabhy on a Friday. There was a day of action yesterday, as you know. And a lot of people can't get up to Ballinabhy because of work, and they live too far away, like ourselves in Kerry. Mm-hmm. But getting over to Dublin on the 24th mm-hmm. for a demonstration is what will show there is some kind of national movement here. And I honestly believe it is that show of national solidarity against Shell that will drive them out in the end and bring a halt to this. I mean, I believe that will happen. And you could see it on the news last night, like, you know, there was 400 people, according to RTE's, probably more, protesting up in Mayo. And that's the kind of thing that needs to be going on a continuous basis. And, I mean, what they... I think what Shell would like to do is, you know, paint the movement as a bunch of, you know, as a sort of thug element in it. I think the movement, like, really, and what it's showing is that that's not the case, and that really, you know, that we are gonna protest at Ballinabhy, we are gonna protest that refinery, and you won't stop us, like. And I think that it's very encouraging, that, like, and that's really where it's at.
When I asked Kieran about energy efficiency, he raised another interesting question. Here's what he had to say.
Not everybody needs what they call the sports utility vehicle or whatever it is.
Right.
Why isn't there pressure on a government, like, to say, right, you know, that's it now? I mean, there has to be certain criteria for anyone who wants one of them from now on. You can't just walk up and buy one. You know, and that kind of pressure, which goes across the board. But I also think that the biggest people with energy, and this hasn't been tackled at all, is industry. And industry are doing nothing, and its government is doing nothing. And, I mean, the Kyoto Agreement, which was watered down, may as well be nothing either.
Yeah.
You know, because it's been ignored. And, you know, like, they're scared stiff, right, of upsetting big industry, like, you know. But you can't do it, like. And the onus has been put on the individual all the time, like, you know, as if it's our individual moral responsibility. It's not, at the end of the day. It's the responsibility of government to take on the big industry and the airlines and whoever else and impose a tax on them or whatever and do it. And not, you see, like, people who are poor will go into shops and they'll buy the cheapest thing going. Or they, you know, they'll... You know, if you're living in the middle of nowhere, you're dependent on a car as well. That's why it shouldn't be the individual. It should be the you know, that advert is pointed at the individual. And that's, I find that that wrong. And also, like, I mean, in terms of, like, alternative energies, like, we're way behind here, you know. And
considering that, like, Ireland had hydroelectric power in the 20s and...
Exactly, and I have to say I'm not a complete expert in this area now, yeah. but that's the way I look at it, and I don't think that the individuals can make you, like, I think individuals can make massive difference in the pressure they put on government and these big corporations, but individuals just taking an individual action on your own, not to... I don't know, buy an aerosol can or something like that. You know, like, that will have some effect, but it won't really alter the situation.
Although it will be very difficult to resolve the issues raised in this programme, if it is at all possible, It'll be through groups and individuals who act in the belief that they can make a difference.
For more information about the issues raised, you can log on to finfacts.com/Ireland Business News, indymedia.ie, shell.com, or corribsos.com.